Not too loud, not too... Hey, not too loud, you'll wake the band up. And they need to sleep. It's a long walk back from the pub. Right. Now, the manager of this particular house of leisure... No, madam, I said leisure. Well, you won't find too much of the other, not here. What's that, sir? Oh, well, if you say so. Now, where was I? Oh, yes. The manager's asked me to come out and have a word. Mr. Beamish, he says, go out and have a word. Tell the ladies and gentlemen... Ladies and gentlemen, I suppose it's only in fun. Tell me, ladies and gentlemen, what's been going on. So here I am. Ready? Right. Maestro, if you please. No, hold it. No, that's not what I meant. Right. Sorry about that, ladies and gents. I'll call you that, but it's really just for convenience. All right. But I can't do this standing up. I've got to sit down. Oh, hello. That'll woken up some wildlife. Hey, what do you think, eh? It's my special fatigue for telling you what's already happened. It's the story sofa. It's the rag end of November 1913. Young Richard Erncastle wants to be an artist, leaves his dead-end job, joins his uncle's magic act touring the music halls, falls in love with Nancy Ellis, but she doesn't want to know. Well, that's it, really. Hardly worth me coming on, if you ask me. Could have got some nobody to do it. Play the music.
I'll see you later.
The Classic Serial, Lost Empires by J.B. Priestley, dramatised for radio by Bert Coombs. Episode 2, First Night.
That's enough.
No, it's not. I may only be 20 and I may be new to everything, but I'm not having this. You gave me this job because you thought I could do it. Well, I can, and I can do it well, if you'd let me get on with it and stop treating me like a schoolboy. Either you admit that or you fire me. Well... Which?
The box vanishes, sticking. Tell Sam I want it oiled by the second house.
Right. Right.
That week in Edinburgh...
My first week on my own as Uncle Nick's chief assistant...
...seemed to consist, at the time as well as now, of vivid patches of colour, which stood out in relief from a sort of general wash background.
Hello, Richard.
Oh, hello.
Only Colmar pursuing her favourite offstage occupation.
I have been watching you. You're very brave.
Getting as close as possible to any man she could find, which on this occasion meant me.
Brave? What do you mean?
Your uncle. You're not afraid of him?
No, I'm not.
Everyone else is. Everyone I know.
Just because he loses his temper every now and then.
No, of course not. It's because of what he can do.
The magic? But that's just tricks.
Oh, some, yes. On stage. But there are other things. Surely you knew.
Miss Colmar.
Oh, no. Noni.
Noni. That's ridiculous.
No, not ridiculous. He knows your thoughts. He can see the future. Not ridiculous.
He's just a good actor, that's all.
You don't believe me because you haven't seen him do it. But you will. But you're brave. You'll protect me from him. Of course you will. Now, I must go.
He's done it to us all, chum. Take no notice.
I didn't see you there.
Why didn't you wait for me at the station?
I had too much to do.
I've had about as much of him as I could take on the journey. I could have shown you one of them. Right there, bold as you like, watching out for me. There's three of the buggers outside now. Want to see?
Sorry, Harry, I'm busy.
Of course, they've passed on the instructions. Give Barad the bird. You see if I'm right.
I've often thought I'd like to go on the stage. I'm brimful of talent. I can do it in the rain.
Once in the music hall, I got to learn that they could find room for just one extra girl. So I went there on Saturday night, and the manager said, "It's all right. I think that it's time now for your turn to sing." And it was. And it was. He said, "Sing a love song, girl. Be just a thing." And it was.
Hello?
Oh, Miss Blaine, good morning.
Good morning, Mr... What is it? Herncastle.
That's right.
Running away from someone? Surely not that pretty little Miss Ellis.
I'm not running away from anyone, especially Nancy Ellis.
Then you can come up to my dressing room and keep me company. If you told me 10 years ago that I'd be working as a comic feed at the Empire Theatre, Edinburgh, I'd have... Well, something outrageous. What did you say your name was, dear?
Herncastle.
No, I'm not that stupid. Your other name.
Richard Dick.
Yes. And you want to be a painter? Let me look at you.
She was going to, whether I let her or not. So let her I did. And I looked at her in return. And I realized that Julie Blaine had run out of luck from the very start. Because she'd been born too soon.
She had nothing of the cow-eyed dimpled prettiness that was admired then.
But 20 years later, when the Garbos and Hepburns filled the screens and Julie Blaine was dead and forgotten, she might well have taken a place beside them.
Don't stare so hard. I'm 100 years old this morning, and I was never pretty.
No, you're not pretty.
Gallant Dick Herncastle.
You're beautiful, Miss Blaine.
Nonsense. But if you're going to work so hard flattering me, you might as well call me Julie.
I'm not flattering you. I wasn't thinking about pleasing you at all.
The artist speaks.
Well, I'm not much of a painter yet. But I like to think I see with a painter's eye.
And talk like a solemn young goose. Come here. Well, come on. Good. Thank you, Dick.
You also happen to have a beautiful voice.
At it again, are you? Yes, I think I do. But there isn't much happen about it. Training and hard work. Now, tell me about this girl, Nancy, who's it? Have you fallen in love with her, poor boy?
No, I haven't.
But you easily might.
Not if she carries on the way she has been.
Oh?
She looks at me as though I'm made of dirt, when she stoops low enough to look at me at all. What's the matter with her?
Well, it could be something to do with your uncle.
Uncle Nick, what's he got to do with it?
I fancy he may have said something about her act. Why don't you ask him? Now, come on. We should go.
I didn't, of course. Ask him, I mean.
As Julie knew perfectly well, I wouldn't.
And I already decided to have nothing more to do with silly little Nancy Ellis. Besides, after the second house that night, Uncle Nick was eager to talk about something else. The only subject I ever heard him become enthusiastic about.
It's a new illusion. I've been working on it with Sam and Ben. I drew these plans myself, every line. You're not the only one who's handy with a pencil. What do you think, lad?
It looks like a doorway.
Door frame. Just an opening with a bit of surround. Usually Indian stuff to fit in with the rest of the set.
But movable, presumably. Is it the casters?
Good lad, yes. It's designed to be moved around. Can you ride a bike, by the way?
Yeah, I can, but what's that got to do with anything?
Well, you should up for a minute. You might find out. Look, we set the doorway center stage sideways onto the audience. Then somebody gets on a bike and rides it through.
Oh, only they don't come out the other side. That would be fantastic.
It would be also impossible. You going to let me tell this or not?
Of course I'm sorry, dear.
Actually, it's a damn sight cleverer than your version. Bike and rider go in here. But only the bike comes out here, the other side. What do you think?
I think you're right. It's brilliant. But how on earth will we do it?
Ah, you'll see. And it'll mean a lot of hard work. You can kiss goodbye to your free afternoons for a while. We'll be rehearsing this all next week.
You've had it made up?
No. We'll be working with Scotch Mist and a lot of imagination. Don't ask those stupid questions.
I'm no trick cyclist, Uncle Nick.
It has to be you. They'll have seen Sissy in the box vanish and the levitation. Sam's too old and stiff, Ben's not sharp enough, and Barney'll be too busy getting ready for the finale. You'll be centre stage, young Richard. Though not for long, if it goes to plan.
But how can it be done? I can't begin to think.
And nor will they. Not even the 2 people out of every 1,000 with an ounce of brains. Look here. I'll show you. Oh, damn, I'd forgotten. All right, all right. Come in, Barney.
Mr. Allerton?
I'll go in.
No, you'd better listen to this, lad.
Sam said you wanted to see me, Mr. Allerton.
Then where have you been? Hanging around the women again, trying to turn yourself into a pet dog?
No, Mr. Allerton.
You'd better not. Now, do you know what this is?
What is it, Mr. Allerton?
It's from an agency in London. Little men aren't in great demand, Barney. There's more than a dozen of them here looking for work. I could replace you just like that.
But I work hard, Mr. Allerton. I'm good.
Then why were you slow tonight in the Big Vanish? Haven't I told you before?
It's the stilts, sir. There's something wrong with them. Sam said maybe...
Don't tell me what Sam says or anyone says. Go and get the stilts. Bring them here.
Yes, Mr. Allerton.
And if I find they're all right... And this will be your last warning. One more mistake and you'll be out. Now go.
Yes, sir, Mr. Allerton. Yes, sir.
Don't ever be soft because you feel sorry for him. He'll take advantage of it sharp. He hates us. Men, I mean. He fancies the women all right till they laugh at him. Then he hates them worse than he hates us.
That piece of paper you showed him, what was it?
God knows. Work, though, didn't it? And now we're off the subject. I've something else to say. Sit down. I want to have a straight talk with you. Don't give me that look. This is for your own good. Keep away from the Blaine woman.
For the briefest of moments, no Nicole Mar's stupidities about mind reading flashed through my head. But of course that was ridiculous.
Why shouldn't I speak to Julie if I want?
Oh, so it's Julie already, is it? Listen, Richard. You're a nice-looking lad, and so far you know nothing and you've been nowhere. For someone like that woman, you're fresh meat to a tiger.
Look, Uncle...
I've not finished. I'm telling you to keep away from her. If you don't, sooner or later she'll eat you for breakfast. You think I'm prejudiced against her?
It's beginning to look like it.
I'm just a variety turn and she's been a West End actress, eh? Well, let me tell you a few things about Miss Julie Blaine. Haven't you asked yourself what the hell she's doing here playing feed twice nightly to a comic, even a star like Tommy Beamish? That's rough stuff by her standards.
I may not know much, but I have wondered about that.
Yes, and then going back to his digs every night for some even rougher stuff is what I've heard's right. Wondered about that too, have you?
Uncle.
She was a good actress till she took to the bottle. One night she fell flat on her face on stage and they had to bring the curtain down on her. That was goodbye to the West End. She had to take what she could get and be bloody grateful. And what she got was Tommy Beamish.
Suddenly I hated him.
Not because he'd destroyed some wonderful image of Julie Blaine. Because I hadn't one then.
But because there seemed something so hard and mean, so triumphant about the way he told me. He was all right. He had everything nice under control. And if anyone else couldn't live the way he did, let them suffer. He existed in a private little universe with no one in it but himself.
All right, lad, you do see what I mean, but you don't like it. And just now, you don't like me either. I'll just have to bear it.
May I go now?
Yes, go. I'll take this with you.
What is it?
Why don't you try looking inside?
Edinburgh Arts Club. Temporary member.
They've got a decent club room there, by all accounts, and a good library. You might find it useful.
And so, just when I thought I knew all about people, I realised I didn't understand them at all.
Now, suppose that you should ever have a little poodle dog and take him for a breath of air into a West End fog. He goes inside a butcher shop to try and get a snack. You're waiting and you're whistling for poor Fido to come back. And while you wait, a butcher boy is on the scene.
Excuse me.
Miss Ellis.
There's no need to look so shocked. You're not the only one who likes pictures and you don't own the gallery. Other people can come here too. There's something I want to say to you.
Is there? Well, go on.
No need to sound like that, either.
I'm sorry, but I don't want to be snubbed again.
How can I be snubbing you if I've just come up to talk? I call that stupid.
Yeah, so do I, sorry.
I wanted to tell you about Bob. You know Bob Hodgson?
Oh, yes, I knew Bob Hodgson. Nancy's brother-in-law, the pianist in their act.
What about him?
Well, I didn't ask him to talk to you like that.
Talk to me? He came close to punching me. He seemed to think I attacked you or something.
Yes, I know. I said something silly to my sister and she must have said something to him. And then, well, he's always like that, interfering.
Did he tell you he'd spoken to me?
No. Actually, it was Julie Blaine. She heard it all and she told me about it and all about you. She's interested in you, isn't she?
I doubt it.
Well, yes, she is, I can tell. Bob's always telling me to keep away from her. He doesn't like her.
He doesn't seem to like anybody.
That's the limit coming from you.
Me? Why me?
You and your frightful uncle. Don't tell me he doesn't hate everybody.
Oh, so I do too, is that it? Come on. Come with me.
Where are we going?
Oh, find a T-shirt.
I can't. I said I'd meet my sister.
We've got to sort this out.
But I promised
then
her.
Then you'll have to let her down.
Oh, that's very nice. Very polite. Look, over there. That'll do. Here. Let me.
There she sat, snug and warm. Diamond raindrops shaking off her curls and fracturing the light. I can see her to this day.
Is that really why you've been ignoring me? Because of my uncle?
Oh, what was I supposed to do? He tried to get rid of us. He told our agent he loathed us and wanted us off the bill.
I didn't know that.
Well, he did, even if you didn't know. Have you seen us from out front?
Oh, yeah, last week when I started.
Susie scrunches, isn't he?
No. Well, I mean, she's all right, of course, but... You're the one.
If you're saying that because you think I'll be pleased, I'm not.
I could see that. No, I'm not trying to flatter you. I'm telling you the truth. You carry that act. You're the best thing in it.
Oh, that's rubbish. Why are you looking at me like that?
Why, you're so different off stage. I was wondering which is really you.
This is me. The real me. Why are you being so silly? I'm a serious girl. That's not me up there. Capering about and showing my legs.
Then why do you do it?
To please Susie.
Not the audience?
Of course not.
Well, you certainly please me. I think I'm more than half in love with that girl in the act.
I can see we're not going to be friends.
The lad of blushing gaze and made a kiss. Then tenderly he whispered. I'll be your sweetheart if you will be mine. All my life I'll be your Valentine.
Every night for the rest of that week, I watched Nancy's act from the side of the stage.
And every night for the rest of that week, it was the fake Nancy. The bubbly, cheeky-eyed, long-legged, magical Nancy, who left me entranced all over again. It was maddening.
When I'm a man, my plan will be to marry.
Harry?
I've been trying to talk to you, a midget. Waste of time, the brains out there. Now you're different, Cully. You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
I'm not sure.
Then listen and use your love. This next date, what is it, Glasgow?
Aberdeen.
Doesn't matter, doesn't matter. How many of them will there be? Come on, give me a guess.
Oh, I don't know. Three.
Three? 6 to 8, maybe 10. But I'm on to them now, Cully. Oh, yes. Look at this.
What you got?
Something to make them change their tune. Loaded, of course.
Oh, God's sake, put it away.
Just let him try it, Cully. Give Burrard the bird, eh? Just let him try it.
I can't quite remember now all that occurred, but a cabbage hit me and same noises I heard. And the young fellow said, why, that must be the bird. And it was. And it was.
Would anyone like some more tea?
We're more than capable of pouring it ourselves, girl.
Sorry.
Well, at least it's warm. It's more warmer than anything else in this place. What do you say?
Is your room as cold as mine, Mr. Holland?
I wouldn't know.
I should hope not, eh?
Ah, there you are, lad. All in order.
So far, yeah.
Dick? What's the matter?
Remember how I wished I could get them down on paper? Exactly as they were around that hotel dining table, in the shadowy room with the fire slowly dying for want of a reason to live. There were some queer moments, not at all dramatic or emotional, that seemed to come out of a deeper reality, as if they're trying to tell us something we can never know.
And this was one of those moments.
You're cold, that's what it is. You'd like some tea, wouldn't you, Dick?
Yes, please, Lizzie.
I'll go and ask him for another cup.
You can ring, can't you? Sit there, Richard.
Uncle. Good afternoon, Miss Blaine, Mr. Beamish.
You tell me, old Bean. Did you notice a man at the station? All long lips and half dead. Where on earth?
Yeah, he was there, Mr. Beamish, looking after your baggage and the scenery.
Then all's well, all's well. You hear that, lassie? Your beautiful drawing room's here, quite safe.
Save it for tomorrow, Tom.
Oh, you think I should save it, dear lassie, for the first Hoosh Monday at the Grand Old Aberdeen Empire? All right, I'll save it. Whatever you command.
Here, have it. What we're talking about?
Precious little.
Have you told them about the party, Marathi?
No.
Oh, a party?
It's going to be hell.
You're going to enjoy it. And you're going to be seen to enjoy it, too. You as well, lad.
What's this about, Uncle Nick?
There's a man up here called Alec Inverurie, Sir Alec, if you want to be pompous about it. He's a big shareholder in a couple of music hall chains.
Very big
and
in the
he's
empire,
giving
Sir
a
Alec.
Party Thursday night for some of the company. Wear a decent suit.
I've had a few tries, but that local granite's a very difficult colour to capture. Actually, a photograph might do it. Well, your building's photographed better than the look. Oh, look, there's the... Excuse me.
Well, now you can start making me laugh.
You heard those girls.
Everybody must have done.
I wasn't being funny, Nancy. They're a pair of idiots. I'm on the stage, so I must be a comedian, honestly.
You don't understand about girls, do you?
Probably not.
They didn't think you were funny.
Well, then why were they laughing?
To make other people think they were having a wonderful time, to make them envious. We deal in envy a lot, girls. Why haven't you been roaming around this week?
We've been rehearsing a new illusion. Talk about hard work.
What's it like?
Uncle Nick makes me disappear.
Sounds wonderful.
It is. We're putting it in next week.
Oh. Dick Herncastle, the old pro. And this is only the third week. Sometimes it feels as though I've had years and years of it. Where are you staying?
A little private hotel.
Oh, swanky.
Uncle Nick didn't know any good digs. Besides, it's not swanky. And anyway, Tommy Beamish and Julia are there too.
Oh, she's there, is she? You know, I think Bob's right. You want to be careful with that one.
Nancy.
Oh, she's been nice to me in her own way, but... Why don't you feel it? She's frightening.
Who's frightening?
Hello, Richard.
Hello, Nye.
So, who's frightening?
Julie Blaine.
No. No, not her. Him.
Tommy Beamish.
It's not right, you know, in the head.
That's ridiculous.
It's true. I like men, you know.
We know.
And they like me. Don't they, Richard? Oh, don't pull that face. You'll get stuck. Why shouldn't I have fun while I can? I've got a nice body, but for how long, eh?
Is there some point to this?
Yes, there is. I never go near Tommy Beamish, never. Now I must go. Sir Alexson has promised to show me the house. Bye.
Honestly.
Did he just write about Tommy Beamish?
Of course not.
Hello, hello, hello! The girl is a bar!
Don't go to the devil.
Oh, I'm kidding,
Oh, bravo.
Hey, I've had more fun in hospital. Lots more fun now, come to think about it. Hey, do you know, them nurses thought I was a surgeon.
A surgeon, Tommy?
Well, they must have. All they kept saying was, well, you can cut that out for a start. She said, Doctor, I'm not feeling right, so which hand are you using?
Now that I've thought about it, it seemed to me that maybe once or twice I had seen another man flashing angry glances at Julie Blaine from behind Toy Beamish's eyes. But whatever he was like in private, whatever he was like when he wasn't being a clown prince of chaos, Beamish was a superb comedian. It wasn't his material.
I'll say it wasn't. Most of his stuff was pretty well worn, even to my ears.
But what he could do with an audience was something wonderful to see. He really gave that party a lift.
And to my amazement, he had some unexpected help.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your delectation and delight, all the way from the mystic East End, with his world-famous mind-reading act, as performed before the Prince of Wales, the Duke of Clarence, the Empress of India, and several other well-known public houses.
Hey, I do the joke.
I give you your own, your very own, and you can keep him, Beamishi, the Magnificent.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. And now, my faithful slave, Nico the Unworthy, will totally blindfold my eyes with, this beautiful lady's scarf. Thank you, madame.
All right.
We've never seen each other before, have we?
Not since last night, no.
There you are. There you are, almighty one. Make sure it's tight, old slave.
I will.
Tight enough, oh master.
Yes,
yes, yes. I can see nothing. Somebody hold up some fingers. How dare you, sir?
And now I will pass among you. Who has an object for the mighty Beamishi? Yeah. Who? To see with. To see with his mind's eye. Oh, come along now. Don't be shy, ladies and gentlemen.
He's doing well, isn't he?
I've never seen him like this before.
Probably the champagne.
Oh, hello, Julie.
Hello, Dick. Why haven't you got a drink? Hello. Miss Blaine?
Ah, at last! A man of courage and determination who doesn't place too much value on his property. Now, mighty Beamishi.
Still here.
I am holding up an object.
Oh, yeah.
Are you feeling the vibrations?
Yes, but I'll have something to eat when we finish all this.
What is this object? Now, I want you to watch yourself very carefully here.
I'm not quite getting it.
That's all right. We've plenty of time.
No, sorry.
I'm sure you'll get it any minute now. And then we'll all give you a big hand. Come on. You can get it in a tick.
No, it's not coming through.
He's not getting the vibrations, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, Master Beamishi, now listen carefully. Perhaps if I rock it, you won't botch it.
Rock it?
Botch.
Rock it?
Botch.
Rock it, botch.
Aye.
Rock it, botch.
Aye.
Could it be a pocket watch? Take your partner.
Miss Ellis?
Mr. Hancock.
I don't care if anyone sees me as a young idiot. I can only say that during that ridiculous romp with Nancy's hand in mine, I felt something that I've rarely felt outside the times when my work was really going well. Often during the First World War or just afterwards, I look back at that quarter of an hour, trying to recapture its quality, like a man exiled forever from a beautiful home.
Dick, you've got to help me.
Why? What's the matter?
It's Tommy.
against the door.
Tommy!
I think he's right out. Oh, he's been sick too.
Oh, God.
Try again. Oh, there.
You've got to get him back to the hotel.
I'll help you. Someone's got to do it, and quickly before anyone sees him in this state. Come on! Come on!
Oh, thank you, Dick. Do you like a drink?
No, thanks.
Well, I need one, in spite of that bad example. What's the matter?
I was thinking about Tommy. What he did to that party, how happy he made me feel. Me and all those people. Now this.
Quite. I have a lot of this.
Julie.
No. No.
But I thought...
Get out. Go on. Go.
Good night, Miss Blaine.
One sleep in the X, Dr. Turbany White. Yet no one would call you a clown. Now, if you're in pain and the front doorbell rings, you have to get up, to get down. And then if you happen to be upstairs, amusing yourself with a pup, your horse is brought round for your afternoon ride, then you have to get down, to get up. Now it seems very queer, but it's perfectly clear, and as sure as a penny is brown, you've got to get down if you want to get up. And you have to get up, to get down.
Contemptible thief! Why should I spare your worthless life?
So I might spread the word throughout the land.
And thus add many to the ranks of my admirers. A good reason. Now get on your miserable machine and go.
I shall tell many a tale of your compassion.
Good.
And of your magnificence.
Excellent.
And of your stupidity.
Die, wretch. Anta, Manta, Janta, Yahoo!
No!
What the hell's got into everyone?
All right, Nick.
All right. Of course it isn't all right. Set it up again.
I'm
going to explain this just once more, so make bloody sure you take it. Are you listening to me, lad?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Nick, he's worn out. Give him a minute.
Well, I want you to speak. I'll tell you otherwise. Shut up!
Uncle Nick does not call for that.
Shut your mouth and pay attention.
I'm paying attention. When are you going to bloody well say something to the point?
What?
The vanishing cyclist was making his first appearance that night.
Which meant at least a dozen more rehearsals after I spent all morning trying to sort out the music for it.
Which we didn't have.
Not to mention all the new lighting and electric cues.
I didn't get any lunch. The dressing room was murderously too small. Barney kept disappearing to hang around the women. And Sissy took herself off to cry in a corner.
If this was Glasgow, they could keep it.
Anta, Manta, Janta, Jadoo.
Gasman had disappeared. Fantastic.
Stupid buggers. Listen to them. Like me.
Oh, God.
Stay where you are. We'll take another call. Curtain up!
I don't know why Glasgow in the second week of November 1913 decided it must go to the music hall, but it did. Our first houses were well filled, our second houses were packed, and... as Sissy said, they loved us. The whole company.
All but one. Diddy-diddy-oo-do, oo-dee-oo-dee-a. It's not nice to be crude, so I found another way. In place of words like... I use diddy-diddy, diddy-oo-dee-a. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. And now the poem is entitled, Don't Play in the Rain, Dad. The cat's got a bone in his beak. Another poem, man. Little boy. Broken
eyes, heaven's gate. I can't go on following this much longer.
I told you what he thinks. It's all organized.
He's a washed out old fool who can't face facts.
He gives me the crate.
Mm.
I'm going to speak to London.
And say what?
What do you think? He's got to be got rid of.
It's not less to be true, so I found another way in place. Thank you very much. Thank you. Good night. Thank you.
Well, my lad, here's to your new trick.
Don't do tricks. I do illusions.
Damn right.
Whatever you call it, Mr. Ollerton, it's packing them in.
I don't think I've ever known a week go better.
I wonder what next week will be like.
Oh, Denny, don't worry about the future. Enjoy it while it lasts.
Good advice, Miss Mapes.
Thank you, Blaine.
Any more of that champagne, Maharaj?
Plenty, plenty.
Do you know the musical director called in here yesterday?
Now, there's a brave man, facing the enemy in his own dressing room. Turn him into a frog, did you, Nick?
But no, he gave him a drink.
Well, it was only a small
frog. That did he God, now that really is magic. All right, Miss, I understand everything now.
Oh, thank goodness.
Soon have you right as rain. Oh, forget I said that. Soon have you warm and dry.
It will be a great weight off my mind.
Yes, I don't suppose there's much wrong. Probably just something nasty causing an obstruction down where you can't see it.
Isn't he brilliant? I thought you were a serious girl.
Don't be horrid.
Sorry. Yeah, he's brilliant. Hasn't it been marvellous this week?
Oh, yes, like one long party.
Is it often like that?
Hardly ever.
Leave me to Fifi!
I love this bit.
Don't you worry, miss. I know what I'm doing. Now, let me... Ah, in there, is it?
It's tremendous.
Cruelest bloody sound in the world.
The cruelest sound in the world. I knew what he meant, even then, knew as I was.
It wasn't innocent or natural, that sound. It wasn't like laughter between friends. There was something fierce about it, something vindictive.
And I noticed after that, as we played in more and more different towns, as the streets surrounding us grew poorer and darker, as the misery came closer.
So the laughter got louder and harder, and more cruel.
Dick, whatever's the matter?
Nothing.
What the devil's going on?
Honestly. Come upstairs with me. Still got some champagne left for Mr. Mr.
Herncastle!
I'm sorry, I didn't mean anything.
But hope not indeed. You'll have to catch me first.
Right.
Raggedy Briogatti!
What's the matter with you, ma'am?
Just trying to emphasize, sir, see if it fits.
I'm all wet!
We know!
Got you.
Let me pass, sir.
Never, me beauty. Ah, oh, now you're mine.
Dick, it's not fair.
Silence, wench. I've got you firmly by the dressing rooms. Nancy.
You're a brute.
Yes, I am. A heartless, callous brute. And if I were you, I'd run away.
Dick. What was that?
I think it was a girl. Oh, my God.
What? Oh, quiet.
What, for God's sake? There's a show going on. Did they come from, Richard?
Room at the end, I think.
All right. Keep away, I'll do this. Farrad's dead. Shot himself. Come on, get back to your rooms. Get back to your rooms.
What?
Get back. Go on. I'll take charge of this.
Dick.
What?
I don't know. Don't leave me on my own. Not for a bit tonight.
Of course not.
I hated him.
Oh, no.
No, I mean it. I couldn't bear him. You won't believe me when I say I don't like this life, but I don't. I don't.
I know.
Perhaps he heard us.
What?
You know, fooling about and laughing. Perhaps he heard us and that's why he did it.
Oh, nuts, he was out of his mind. Completely banned.
None of us wanted him here, did we? Not even then. We wanted him to go and now he has. And perhaps we made him. And perhaps now it'll never be the same.
And perhaps it wasn't.
Good evening, Mr. Johnson.
Good evening, Mr. Jennings.
Elegant theater.
Very elegant.
Pleasant-looking people.
Exceedingly pleasant.
Shall we?
Let's.
She's little Dolly Daydream.
Pride of Idaho.
So now you know.
And when you go,
you'll see the something on her mind.
Don't think it's you.
Cause no one's gonna kiss that girl but me. Little Dolly Daydream, pride of Idaho. So now you know. And when you go, you'll see the something on her mind. Don't think it's you. Cause no one's gonna kiss that girl but me.
Mr. Johnson.
Look at him go, ladies and gentlemen. Like a vision. Pete came out of the womb dancing. Poetry in motion. He's won prizes, you know. Some of them for dancing. There's something on her mind, don't think it.
There were two immediate changes.
And both for the better.
The first was the act that replaced Paul Burrard.
Jennings and Johnson. Comedy duo.
Bill and Hank. They'd only just arrived from America.
They looked like a couple of insurance men. They sang poker-faced.
And with no visible enthusiasm.
Watch it.
And they closed by taking off their bowler hats and tossing imaginary flowers from them into the audience. Since they were on just before us, I could always tell how they were going.
Like a storm.
Usually, they left our audiences completely bewildered.
No sophistication, you people.
I thought they were wonderful. The other change was that we left Scotland for the West Riding, my part of the world.
Can I look yet?
Nearly finished. I'm working as fast as I can so you won't get cobbled.
Oh, I don't need to be told what I already know, thank you.
Nancy, why did you agree to come up here with me?
I wanted to see what they were like, your precious moors. I wanted a change. You know, I don't think I've breathed any real air for ages.
You haven't. Everything here is more real somehow. Look at the way the frost glitters on the grass. And the colours. Sepia and indigo and... I don't know, some that don't even have names. Bit different from Glasgow, isn't it?
I can't believe that was just a week ago. Or less than a week.
Don't think about it. There.
Well, let's have a look. Oh, Dick, that's lovely.
Hardly. I haven't got those hills right at all.
Oh, that doesn't matter. You've caught the mood. And yours, too. You love this place, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I always have. Nancy.
No, that's all. It didn't mean what you think. It was just the look on your face. A kind of happy child's look. That's what I wanted to kiss. Now, pack your stuff up and let's go. I'm frozen.
Right. Nancy.
What?
Do you ever think...
What, Dick?
Well, I was going to say, I wish this could go on forever, but of course it can't.
No.
But do you ever think that there might be something, some secret, and if only we could find it and know it, then moments like this could go on forever.
Everlasting happiness. That's just a dream.
Oh, but suppose that it wasn't.
fact, it is there waiting for us, for everyone, but we turn our backs on it.
And why should we do that?
Because we don't know any better. Because we're blind and ignorant and stupid.
That's not a very pleasant thought. Why not just enjoy your happiness while it's here?
Because we might be enjoying it too much. Yeah, why not, why not?
That's better. Now, come on. It's a long way back and you have to be ready by 7.
Oh, my God, I've forgotten. I completely forgot.
Come on, dreamer.
And she took my hand. And knowing, divining, that I was suddenly genuinely anxious about being back on time, kept squeezing it hard as we made our way back to the Bradford Empire and my other unreal life.
Well, so you're Nixon, have you put it there, lad? Put it there.
Sorry, mister.
Richard Castle, Joe Bosenby, my...
Yes, indeed, my congratulations, young man.
For what?
I'll tell you for what. Because you are working with one of the cleverest artists, and I've handled them all, I know one of the cleverest artists in variety today. You realise it's a privilege, Joe, don't you? Of course you do.
Stop trying to sell me to him, Joe.
I can't help it, Nick, old boy. What am I? And better than ever. That vanishing cyclist had me beat tonight. I don't mind admitting it.
Richard, tell Sissy not to wait for me. I'm having supper with Joe.
All right.
Better walk around to the digs yourself.
Got no girl waiting for you at the stage door, then, lad. Something wrong with you?
Sissy says you fancy that singer. What's her name? Ellis? Is that right?
Well, I like her, yeah. Oh, little Nancy, don't you right. She, don't blame me, she's a good-looking kid. But you know how it is in this business. Here today, off tomorrow. They're going into Panto, Hoat.
What?
Theatre Royal, Plymouth. Start rehearsing next week. You'll have to look for it somewhere else, lad. Oh, hey!
I could have killed him.
Hello, Nancy.
Hello, Dick. What are you hiding away in the shadows for? Studying the light.
I was waiting for you.
I've been thinking about today. I'd love to go back there in the spring, on a day when we didn't have to rush back.
Oh, yeah.
Dick, whatever's the matter?
I've just heard you're leaving.
Oh, yes, Plymouth. I'm playing Dandini.
Ah, you sound very pleased about it.
Well, I am. Panto's more fun, and you don't have to move on every week.
I can't see why it should be more fun. Not for someone who doesn't like being on the stage.
Stop it, Dick.
I had a silly idea that we were friends.
I wish you could hear yourself.
I can hear myself. And I know that if I were leaving, I'd feel sorry. And not be so bloody bright about it.
Go and swear at someone else. Good night.
Good night. Goodbye.
Then perhaps, Mr. Tiffler, we could move on to the next one, which actually involves my orchestra. By all means, after we've accustomed ourselves to the acoustical,
how much longer are these idiots going to be?
Goodness only knows.
They're dreadful.
The non-musical Tiplo family, eh?
I'd like to see them play Butte Montana on a Saturday night.
I wish they were there now.
Let us go and rinse a few things, Mr. Jansen.
Yes. They're not much of a replacement for your little Nancy, are they, Dick? I spoke to her on the last night in Bradford. She said you'd had a row.
Yes.
If these old fools ever get off and let us finish, come for a drink with me. You do realise, don't you, that for sixpence you could send her a wire?
Oh, and what do I say? That I'm sorry and it's all my fault.
Of course.
Are you serious?
Oh, Dick, don't you know anything about women?
No, not much. I thought we were getting to be really good friends, say the least of it. She didn't even pretend she was sorry to be leaving.
So what are you going to do?
Well, I'm not sending any wires or letters. Why should I?
You're miserable, though, aren't you? And lonely?
I'll get over it.
Then you're not going to make it up with her. You're sure about that, my dear?
Yeah, I am. Now let's change the subject. I don't see any point in this.
Don't you?
Julie.
Yes, my dear?
Tell me about Tommy. Tell me what he's like. I mean, he's wonderful on stage, of course, but what's he really like?
You saw him after that party.
Yeah, but that can't be the whole story.
No, it isn't.
Mostly, he's a very clever, naughty little boy who can be very kind and generous.
Really?
Oh, yes. Let's say on 4 days out of five.
And on the fifth day?
He can be a horror. But he's my only chance for getting back where I really belong.
In the West End?
I have to prove I can do it, which is why I can't leave him.
Either on the stage or off it.
Exactly. It would be a lot easier to bear if only...
What, Julie?
Where are you staying this week?
In Diggs with Uncle Nick and sister.
The same as always. Why don't you stay on your own?
Well, they know the good Diggs. I don't. Simple.
This is your part of the world, isn't it? Haven't you got friends here?
A few.
Well, haven't they got places of their own that you could use?
Julie, a few weeks ago I was a junior clerk at a spinning mill. You're practically slowing, Miss Blair.
Oh, shut up and don't be stupid. The week after next, we're in Nottingham, aren't we?
Christmas week, yeah.
Well, I know some people there. You could stay with them. Tell your uncle they're friends of yours. Will you do that? Or don't you want us to see a bit more of each other?
Yeah, I do.
Then you'll stay with my friends?
All right.
Such enthusiasm, darling.
Oh, Julie.
Now listen, we're going to have to be very careful. Don't look so solemn, there's a good boy. I think it's going to be rather fun.
Merry Christmas, Richard.
To you, Miss Gosling.
Oh, come on, darling.
No, me.
That's better. Come and dance with me. Come and dance with me.
Oh, hello, Mr. Carlani. Enjoy the party.
She said she'd dance with me. Where's she gone?
Over there with Bill. Looks like you're going to have to get in line, friend.
She promised.
Miss Colmar.
Ah, oh, Bill's really giving the treatment. I guess I won't be seeing much more of him tonight.
I think he's wasting his time.
What would you be knowing about it, son?
Only what you'd not do if you'd been with us longer. Small talk of tease and nothing else.
You don't say. Oh, poor old Bill. All that effort and no cigar.
Merry Christmas, kid.
And to you too, Mr. Johnson.
Hello, Richard. Are you being the barman?
If you like.
I'll give you a signal when it's time to slip away. Don't take too much to drink.
Oh, God, that's weather.
Hello, Julie.
I thought I'd never get away. Tommy had to be carted off to bed just after you left.
Well, you've been pretty well rolling drunk all week.
Well, now he's out dead to the world in a bedroom the other side of town. And I'm here. And I'm freezing.
I've been warming up my room for hours. You'll see.
Give me 5 minutes, then come up. Bring some whiskey. Come in. Hello, Dick. Put that bottle down and close the door.
Julie.
Shh.
Lost Empires by J.B. Priestley, dramatised for radio by Bert Cools. Tom Baker played Nick Ollerton, better known as Ganga Dunn, the magnificent Maharaja of Mystery. Brian Pringle was old Richard, and Freddie Davis played Harry G. Burrard, the Diddy Udo Man. Richard Herncastle was played by Richard Horrick.
Stephen Frost was Tommy Beamish, the clown prince of chaos, and Bridget Forsyth was Julie Blaine, well known in the West End. Sissy Mapes was Debbie McAndrew, and Nancy Ellis of Susie, Nancy and a Gentleman was Catherine Hunt. Jennings and Johnson were played by Russell Dixon and John Lloyd Fillingham. Barney was Mike Edmonds, and Noni was Anne-Marie Frater. Other parts were played by members of the company. Original music was composed by Chris Monks and performed by David Windle, Steve Rushton, David Browning and Julia Hanson. Our special thanks to the Oldham Coliseum and the people of Oldham for their contribution during location recording. Lost Empires was directed in Manchester by Kate Rowland.